Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you notice, I got another tongue-in-cheek name for my sermon today. Jesus, let's see if you can fly. Well, I found our readings today are really interesting. You know, we talk about the difference between law and gospel, but yet we had the law in the Old Testament, but law in the gospel reading too. Well, how often does that happen? Well, not too often, unless you're reading like the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes and those kind of things, because if Jesus speaks law, is it law? Sure. If he speaks law, is it gospel? Sure. It's one of those things that's a little hard. Well, why was Jesus speaking wrongly in our gospel reading today? Well, of course not. Was he speaking heresy? No. What did he do that was so bad? He spoke the truth. Well, he spoke the truth to people who knew him since he was a little kid. How dare he do that? I like this. And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? And a little bit it changes, doesn't it? You know, this is the carpenter's kid, or the stonecutter's kid. There's been research done that both Jesus and his father were stonecutters at Capernaum, which is only about 3.5 miles away from Nazareth. Because the word in the Bible that we translate as carpenter means they worked with their hand, with tools in their hands, okay? Well, I think this is where our epistle comes into our picture. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? And as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the hand to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And here's one that we read together. Let's talk about this for a second. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You're only as strong as your weakest link, aren't you? Okay? And on those parts of the body we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. So who is he honoring? The people on top or the people on the bottom? On the bottom. Do you realize that Christianity is a slave's religion? Think about that for a second. Who were the first Christians? The slaves, the bottom part of society. It didn't grow into the upper parts until later on. So Christianity is actually a bottom-up religion, not a top-down, where most of the religions at that time were top-down. So, which are more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, so that there may be no division in the body, so that the members may have the same care for one another. Doesn't make any difference what your background is it? Doesn't make any difference whether you have money. What's important? That you're all brothers and sisters in Christ. But did this happen in Nazareth? No. Well, why not? There's our question. I was reading a book. David Limbaugh, who is Rush Limbaugh's brother, is a Christian theologian. And he wrote a book that I've been reading called The Truth About Jesus. It's really fascinating. In fact, there's two books I'm reading right now. The other one is After Acts that Peggy got me turned on to. That it's the story of the apostles after the book of Acts. What happened to them? Okay? What else do we know from history? But today we're going to talk about the truth of Jesus. He says this, what we see in this parable, this story, is a microcosm of the world of Israel in the first century. So the thing is, we can see what's going on in the broader picture by looking at this story of Jesus of Nazareth. The people, they wanted a Savior who was perfect. They wanted a Savior who came through that door as a king. You know, regal robes, you know, the one that's really important. They wanted a Savior who brought change without changing anything. Sure, we're not talking about Lutherans here. In other words, they wanted Jesus, but they didn't want him as he was. They wanted him as they thought he should be. And there's a danger there. So what do they get? They get Joseph's kid who comes in and speaks truth to him. Now, he reads the scroll from Isaiah. Why Isaiah? Why is that so important? What's in Isaiah? The prophecy of the Savior. In that scroll, he confirms his identity. Okay? Yeah, it's me. He cites the Old Testament ministering to the Gentiles, which is in that reading. Okay? Old Testament? I thought that was for the Jews. No, it's for everybody. Even in the Old Testament, it's for everybody. Is it applied that way? No. He is preaching to the unlikely people. Remember the story of the woman at the well? You know, been married 5 times. The only other time between, except for the baptism and the ascension, that he shows his divinity. Why? Because nobody is too low or insignificant in the body of Christ to be a member of that body of Christ. Well, what he's doing is modeling the Christian church as it needs to be, not up here, down here. You know, give me your unwashed masses. That's the thing that's on the Statue of Liberty, right? Okay, your unwashed masses. It doesn't make any difference who you are. Jesus takes everybody. You know, when he confirms his identity as the Messiah to his hometown people, of course he's going to be rejected. I mean, if you went back to your high school reunion as a, you know, great person, what are they going to do? Well, we don't. He's uppity now. He's lost his place. Or she has. So why did he do it? He knew it was going to happen. Well, it's to make a statement, of course. He talks about this message is for all the people, not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. But who else is he teaching? The apostles. All right, we know, because of what happened in the upper room after the crucifixion and everything, did the apostles get his message? No. No, I mean, they walked with Jesus for 3 years, and they still didn't get it. So he takes these things at times, not only to teach the people, okay, in Nazareth, but to teach the apostles. What he's teaching the apostles, all right, take the message to the Jews, but expect to be rejected, because they don't want to change. But there are people who will change. And then once that happens, take the message to the Gentiles. Go to preach to them. Because they're the ones that need it. Is that what the apostles did? Sure they did. They all paid with their lives for it, but of course they did. David Limbaugh says, this is the perfect example of Jesus' divinity. As I was reading some of the other commentaries on this, some of them actually said that Jesus had to give up his divinity to be a man. Why would he do that? You know, we know he's both God and man at the same time. Does he give up either one? No. You know, one of the things that in the Book of Concord says, we as human beings, look at it this way. You got Jesus as God, Jesus as man. It's like two pieces of wood. You put them together with glue. Doesn't work that way, does it? Okay, because then they're still separate. Both of those are together. So did Jesus give up his divinity? No, it's there. But because he was teaching the apostles through rejection, he's showing his divinity. Well, how else is that? Well, you know, the Holy Spirit uses Jesus too to teach us. All right, Jesus speaks truth. And what is it? The Bible says, it says that the people got mad at him. There was great wrath. And so they grab him and take him up on the hill at the edge. They're going to throw him off. Okay? Back then, life is cheap. You know, Jesus, can you fly? Get ready, because here you go. What happens? No, he turns around and walks through their midst. Now, the Bible doesn't elaborate on that. How, if somebody's going to kill him, they pull him up there, does he just turn around and walk away? And the Holy Spirit is not in him at that point, it's in the people. His message got through, didn't it? All right, so there, I think, is what our example is. Adolf Edersheim wrote about this parable. Jesus came to his own, and his own knew him not. So here's what I think our real lesson is here. And I think that is in the last sentence of the gospel reading. The people who knew Jesus, who had seen him since he was a little boy, took him to the edge of the hill and wanted to see if he could fly to kill him. Not because he was evil, not because he was a heretic, not because he was wrong, but because he was Jesus. He wasn't the ruler they were expecting. He's not the king they were expecting. He's not the Messiah he was expecting. He was the carpenter's son who came in and spoke truth. He was just a member of the community who happened to say the right thing to the wrong people. And then the miracle happens. Absolutely nothing. Jesus walks through the midst, walks away. You know, I think that great lesson here for us too is when we hit adversity, we have to deal with it and then walk away with it. Are you going to win every time you fight something? Have you been stubborn enough that you say, I'm going to win? And in doing so, you lose? Okay. I mean, you can confront things, you can do your best, and then walk away. You know, all we can do is do our part. And I think we see this with the people here. Jesus came in and was Jesus, right? Could he force those people in Nazareth to change? No. Did he try to force them? No. Spoke the truth. Did they like it? No. But after that rejection, Jesus walked away. They didn't kill him. That's the second time I brought this up. That's why I think it's so important. Jesus calmly states his message. He doesn't get mad. He doesn't yell at them. They don't like it. They take him up to kill him, turns around and walks away. All we can do is say things with love and then leave. You know, it's up to the other person to accept or reject, isn't it? Not you. And just leave it open. You know, we have a human fix-it mentality, don't we? Especially wives, when you talk to your husbands. Okay? Men, I gotta talk. Well, let's see, how are we gonna fix this? That's a difference between what we call a painter and a pointer. Because many people are painters. They don't know what they're trying to say. They gotta talk for a while until they get to the point. A pointer is the first thing out of their mouth is the point, right? A lot of guys are like that. So when you make your point, that's it, I'm done. Now the painter hears that and says, well, yeah, but when are you going to get to the point? Because you just started to talk. There's a little bit of problem with communication. So we look at the story in Nazareth. Jesus came in and was a pointer at this point, didn't he? Came in, spoke the truth. They didn't like the truth. Do your best and then let it go. Don't force things. You know, as we discovered last week, everything's in God's time, not ours. Let us pray. I think you're going to recognize this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can. And wisdom to know the difference. Amen.